Family of God.
Amen.
We come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, textures, and flavors. But through the blood of Jesus, we're all connected as one great family of faith.
Amen.
From every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. With the same father, the same elder brother, heading for the same destination, the promised land. Paradise found. Amen. We want to welcome those who are here from the other churches. I want to thank the Lord once again for the privilege of just basking in His presence today, being filled up with His Spirit, hearing His holy words, words of comfort, words of conviction. And I just want to thank the Lord once again for giving my wife and I the great honor of standing before you and to share this wonderful Sabbath with you folks. Before we get into our message, it's entitled, Watchmen, What of the Night? The Gleams of the Golden Morning. I hope you brought your Bible. And I hope you brought a notebook. We're going to be sharing many different scriptures and spirit of prophecy quotations. This message is not a typical Sabbath morning presentation. This one we're going to be studying. It's a little hefty message, very timely for the days in which we live. And so I hope you brought a spiritual appetite as well. I know that Sabbath afternoon sometimes is hard. It's hard to stay awake. It's hard to pay attention. But we are going to pray that the Holy Spirit would captivate our minds, amen? And that our minds would be engaged. The only thing you have to pay is pay attention, amen? All right, and so we're going to pray, and we're going to jump into the message right now. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege that is ours to be in your house today. Lord, it's a great honor to be here, for we're not worthy to enter into your house. But we thank you so much that you've invited us to come as we are. And so, Lord, we come asking for a special blessing from the most holy place. We ask, Lord, that you would shine upon us in Holy Spirit power, that you would help us to see the solemn times in which we live. Help us to know, Lord, what it is that you're calling us to do in this time. And I pray that you'll convict us afresh of our need of Jesus, and that we would live with a sense of urgency, knowing that while darkness is all around us, that the golden morning is fast approaching, when Jesus soon will come. So please, Lord, I pray that we would all be better prepared for your return as a result of our study this afternoon. So please speak now, and may you give us ears to hear your voice. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans. We're going to begin in the 13th chapter. Romans chapter 13, as we study, Watchmen, What of the Night? The gleams of the golden morning. Romans chapter 13, we find the Apostle Paul writing these powerful words inspired by the Spirit. Romans 13, beginning with verse 11. Please write it down, and if you're there, would you let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
Romans 13, beginning with verse 11. And the Bible says this, and that, knowing the time, that now it is a what? A high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Here in these powerful words, the Apostle Paul urges us to wake up from spiritual sleepiness. For right now, it is the worst time for us to fall asleep spiritually. The verse tells us that the night is almost finished and the eternal day is at hand. It is a high time, a solemn time, an urgent time to shake off the sleepiness, a time to put on the armor of light. And so, my friends, if you feel sleepy right now, wake up. If you feel yourself nodding, just shake yourself. And if you see someone next to you perhaps dozing off, just go ahead and give them a sanctified nudge. Amen. Because right now is a time for us to stay awake. Because tragically, unfortunately, many have fallen asleep in the dark, but now God's light is shining upon us. God is sounding the alarm and shining the light to awaken the sleeping giant, the church, to eternal victory. As I mentioned, it's the worst time to be sleeping right now. Friends, let me ask you, have you ever slept through an important event? An event that perhaps you've been preparing for and waiting for its arrival, and unfortunately you slept right through it and missed it? I've had those experiences before. Recently, I read an article about the story of Jody George. That was his name. He's a triathlete from the United Kingdom. And Jody George, here's a picture of him. He had spent a whole year training for this triathlon there in England, a race that included a 2.4-mile swim, then after that, a 112-mile cycle, and then ending with a 26-mile marathon. Can you imagine that? These people who love to do these triathlons. How many of you have ever done a triathlon before? Wow, we have a few. God bless you. I'd much rather swim with sharks, but that's another story. And so he was competing in this triathlon for a good cause. He was seeking to raise funds for the Somerset Air Ambulance, and upon sharing his cause with others through social media, he was able to raise 1,000 British pounds for his cause. People wanted to support him in this triathlon as he rose funds for this special cause. He gave weekly Facebook updates on his progress and his preparation, and many people were excited for him. And Jody George, he felt confident in himself. Well, the night before the race, he felt well prepared and unusually relaxed. Too relaxed. He went to bed early that night, eager to get a head start on the race the next day. He set his alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning, and he went to sleep. 3 o'clock came, and the alarm went off as it was supposed to. And then Jody, upon hearing the alarm and seeing the time, he then made a terrible mistake that he would ever after regret. Jody hit the snooze button. A terrible mistake. Why? Because you know what they say, you snooze, you lose. And so he hit the snooze button. He just wanted to relax his eyes just for a few more minutes. But then he woke up 3 hours later, and he knew that it was too late. He had missed the race. He was devastated, realizing that he had slept through what he had waited for so long, and now, filled with shame, he had to apologize to all those who donated money to him in his cause in this race. Jody had prepared for the race, but he was still unready for it. Why? Because he failed to wake up. And why did he fail to wake up? It's not because he did not know the time. He did know the time. That's the tragedy of it. He knew the time. The time was flashing in his face. The alarm was ringing in his ears. The reason why he missed the race, not because he didn't know the time, but rather because he just wanted to sleep a few more minutes, and thus he ignored the alarm, and he lost the race. Why? Because he didn't even start the race. Why? Because he failed to wake up. He knew the time, but he refused to wake up. What a story. What a tragedy. And what a lesson for us. Because, friends, today, many people realize that we are living in solemn, serious, unstable, and uncertain times. Many people are acknowledging, like Time Magazine did, that the end is near. And people are seeing the signs of the times. They're hearing the alarms, but they're refusing to wake up But some people wake up momentarily only to hit the spiritual snooze button. And just like Jody, they do this at the peril not only of missing the race, but they do it at the peril of their eternal destiny. Sleeping through this time of crisis is far worse than missing a race. We'll be missing out on eternal salvation. And for this cause, Paul, in the verse we just read, urges us to awake from sleep. The night of trouble is almost finished, and the eternal day of deliverance is at hand. It is a high time for us to be awake, to be watchful, to be searching the scriptures, and to look up, because our redemption is drawing near. Can you say amen? In fact, Jesus tells us, if you turn your Bible to the book of Mark, Jesus tells us the importance of staying awake. And I want you to notice what it says. We're going to the book of Mark, chapter 13. And in Mark, the 13th chapter, Jesus is describing the signs of the times, what's going to happen in the last days. And in the midst of this chapter, he tells us to do something that will enable us to make it through the last days. Notice Mark, chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. In the previous verses, he is talking about his soon coming. But then in verses 32 to 37, Jesus repeats something four times. He repeats a word four times that will enable us to be ready for his coming. Notice what it says. We're in Mark 13, verse 32. If you're there, would you please say amen? Jesus said, "But at that day and at that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed," and what is that next word? "Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to do what? To watch." What is the next word in verse 35? "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." Verse 36, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all," what? What is the word that Jesus repeats four times? The word watch. In other words, in light of the last days, Christ calls us to watch. In light of the fact that time is almost finished and that Jesus is soon to come, watch. For our redemption is drawing nigh. Our salvation is nearer today than we've ever believed before. We've been told that the final movements will be rapid ones. There's going to be a shaking in the last days. His coming is closer than we think. And what a tragedy that that day will find many of us sleeping, unready, and unprepared. And so, let's stay awake. Amen? Because those who are watching and praying, I want you to notice the promise. In Testimonies, Volume 6, page 404, it says that the great crisis is just before us. To meet its trials and temptations and to perform its duties will require what kind of faith? A persevering faith. It says we may triumph gloriously, not one watching, praying, and believing soul will be ensnared by the enemy. This morning we talked about the devil's net and how he has a net for the people of God that he wants to trap us in. But if we're watching and praying, if we are looking up, we will triumph gloriously. And by the way, do you know where that expression "triumph gloriously" comes from in the Bible? It's the song that the Israelites sang when they exited Egypt, went through the Red Sea, and God swallowed up their enemies in the Red Sea. When they came through the Red Sea, they began to sing the song of Moses, how the Lord enabled them to triumph gloriously. And that same victory they won is a victory that God wants us to win as well. Amen? And so God calls us to watch. And there are two reasons why he's calling us to watch. Number one, so that we can be ready for his return. But the second reason is so that he can use us to help others to be ready for his return too. In other words, God is not only calling us to watch, he's also calling us to be watchmen. He's calling us not only to know, but to make known to others. Amen? And that's the reason why in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, please write it down. The Bible says, "Son of man, I have made thee a what? A watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." Friends, it's a sacred thing to be a watchman. It's a solemn and a sacred responsibility to be spiritual watchmen. Why? Because the safety of all within the walls, all in the city, depends upon the warning that we give as God has given it to us. And God says that if we fail in giving the warning and people are lost as a result of our neglect, that he will hold us responsible, that their blood will be upon our hands. And so it's a solemn thing to be called a watchman, friends. God is calling us to stay awake, not only for our own souls, but for the sake of others. Now, one of the great blessings of my life was when I was speaking at ASI in Spokane a few years ago. And I was doing a seminar at Spokane at the International ASI Convention, and the seminar was How to Grow Your Church. After it was finished, I had a sister approach me. I'd never met her before. And it was very interesting, the first thing she said to me. She said to me, "I need a tall, skinny preacher to come with me to Africa." And I was like, "I'm happy to go to Africa. I love Africa. Been there a few times. But why do you need a tall, skinny preacher?" And she said, "Because the Maasai people will connect with you better." And that was my first time meeting dear sister Anita. Amen. Former member of this church. It was a great blessing meeting Anita. Because by meeting her, I was able to experience one of the greatest trips of my life, going to Kenya and ministering to the Maasai people. That was just last August we were there. It was a wonderful experience. Amy was there, and your mother, and it was Brother Barry, and a whole team of us. My wife was there. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Well, we preached, and we don't have the time to tell the stories. That's another sermon for another time. But one of the things that I really enjoyed was when we went on those African safaris. How many of you actually have been to Africa with Anita before, with her ministry? All right. Amen. How many of you have been to Africa before? How many of you are from Africa? All right, we got a few Africans with us as well. Amen. We went on this African safari, and I took these pictures, and I remember that we were looking upon a pride of lions that were hunting. And on their menu that day was a herd of topi. That's what they call those animals, topi. These are the animals. I took this picture. They're basically an antelope subspecies. These fast creatures, we noticed, were all standing tall and erect. Their heads were held up. And they were watching the approach of the prowling lions that were perfectly camouflaged in the golden grass in the distance. And we were between them. So the lions were in front of us, and they were approaching towards us because right behind us were the herd of topis. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. And we noticed that the topis, as long as they kept their eyes and they knew where the lions were, they were not afraid because these animals could easily outrun the lions. And so the lion took off and started running towards us and went right past our vehicle, and the topis were gone by then. It was an amazing sight. Got some good pictures. But later on that day, we were driving in our safari and we saw another herd of topi, but this time they were lying in the grass and they were all sleeping and laying down in the golden grass. They were fast asleep. And I thought to myself, how could they sleep? What enables them to be so relaxed when there are ravenous lions who are walking about seeking to devour them? That are almost perfectly camouflaged in the grass. How could this herd of topi sleep so comfortably? But then I found the answer to that question as I looked just ahead of where they were sleeping, and I saw one singular topi standing upon a mound of dirt with his head high, looking for danger, ready to alert the sleeping flock. And when I saw that topi, I said to myself, Lord, make me like that. Because that was the watchman, amen? Standing on the tower, alert, looking and scanning the horizon, waiting for the danger to come. And thus the flock was able to sleep peacefully because the watchman was standing faithfully. Amen. And I'm like, Lord, make me like, how many of you want to be like that? Amen. Faithful watchmen standing at the post of duty. But friends, did you know the Bible describes two different kinds of watchmen? Here's one of them. In Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. That's the kind of watchman I want to be. Amen. A watchman that lifts up his voice like a trumpet and gives the message that Jesus gives to him. But there's another kind of watchman described in Isaiah 56, verse 10 and 11. And I want you to notice, we don't want to be like these. It says his watchmen are what? Blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. A watchman that's blind is not a watchman at all. A watchman that can't bark. A dumb dog that cannot bark. I want to be a barking dog. How about you? Amen. A dog that's on the alert. You know, when the 12 spies were sent to survey the promised land, two of them came back with a faithful report. The other 10, the majority, came back with a discouraging report, a report of faith. And basically the majority of those spies said that it's too hard. Victory is impossible because there's giants in the land. But then those two spies, the minority, they gave a gospel that said, no, victory is possible because God has promised it to us. And so despite what we see, despite the giants in the land, we must go forward, not in our own strength, but in faith in the promise of God's word, because what he says he will do. And so victory is possible. And friends, I love, you know the names of those two spies? What were their names? Caleb and Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is my salvation. It's the same thing as Yeshua, Jesus. But I found it interesting that Caleb, do you know what the definition of the word Caleb is in Hebrew? Caleb, it means dog. It means dog. Caleb was a barking dog. Can you say amen? He was a watchman that gave the right message. That's how we want to be. And so the question is, how can we be faithful watchmen? Well, in order to be faithful watchmen, we got to know some things, and we have to make those things known to others. We have to know, and we have to make known. So what is it that God is calling us to know and to make known? Well, I want to read you from the Testimonies, Volume 6, page 407. It says this. Listen carefully, and please write it down. It says, the watchman is to know the what? Time of night. Everything is now clothed with a solemnity that all who believe the truth of this time should realize. The judgments of God are about to fall upon the world, and we need to be preparing for that great day. Our time is precious. We have but few, very few days of probation in which to make ready for the future immortal life. We have no time to spend in haphazard movements. We should fear to skim the surface of the Word of God. As watchmen, God is calling us to go deeper than ever before. Amen? To not stay upon the surface, to go deeper like a scuba diver. God is calling us to know something and to make something known. And we read that the watchman is to know the time of night. Now, we want to unpack what exactly does that mean. What does it mean that we are to know the time of night? What is the time of night? Well, friends, it's not referring to the literal hour of the literal day or the literal night. When it says that we are to know the time of night, it's talking about prophetic time. Now tell me, has God made known to his faithful watchmen his prophetic time? Has God revealed prophetic time to us? Yes or no? Absolutely yes. And there are specific time prophecies that we understand, that no other movement understands. What were the specific time prophecies that we ought to be very well acquainted with? The hour of his judgment is come. That's what the first angel says, Revelation 14, 7. So we are to know the hour of God's judgment. And what prophecy helps us to understand the hour or the timing of the judgment of God? It is the prophecy in Daniel 8, verse 14, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, we don't have the time to dissect that prophecy in detail. We normally do that in our Revelation of Hope seminar, but I'm going to assume for the sake of time that you're at least familiar with this. If not, I'll give you the short version, and I challenge you to make sure you spend some time studying this. But that 2,300-day prophecy began in the year 457 BC, and it culminates in the year 1844, where in that year, that specific time period, Jesus would begin a special cleansing work in the sanctuary above in the investigative judgment to prepare his people in the last days for his soon return. And friends, according to Revelation 10, verse 6, that was the last time prophecy. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it describes the birth and the history of the early Advent movement. A group of individuals who began to study that little book opened in the angel's hand. And when they studied the contents of that little book that was open, it was sweet in the mouth, but quickly became bitter in the belly, because those who understood it first thought that 1844 referred to the second coming of Christ. They thought that that was the morning. And when Jesus did not come in that year, they were bitterly disappointed. But from that bitter disappointment came a sweet discovery of understanding where Jesus is.